are listening to the IELTS podcast. Learn from tutors and ex-examiners who are masters of IELTS preparation. Your host, Ben Worthington.
Hello there, IELTS students. Today we are going to look at academic writing, then different forms, then we're going to look at feedback, and then what is academic writing? It's communicative, okay? We are communicating one point of view or a few points of view, okay? It's like a transfer of information, but not as in a story. Like when you're writing a story, the actual delivery method is part of the story, okay? Whereas with the academic writing, this is much less the case. It's more of the information that we're trying to deliver, okay? All right? This is why it's fact-based, okay? It's usually a fact-based argument, and this is why when we're doing our IELTS essays, examples are very important. I'll explain more about that later. Also, we need to identify our audience, okay? Who is our audience? In this case, obviously, it's going to be the IELTS examiner, okay? If we just think about the IELTS examiner, the writing examiner, they are getting paid per essay, okay? That's interesting to note. They've got a pile of essays to get back, to correct, to get back, to get through within a certain time frame. So that's, I think, is an important piece of information just to bear in mind. Okay, so you can consider your handwriting, although in theory it shouldn't affect it, but it's probably better if you make your handwriting neat and legible, as it just makes the job for the examiner much easier. Now, what's your objective? Okay, well, first of all, you need to avoid biases. Okay, what's a bias? A bias is where you might have a preference for a certain position. Okay, so if we're talking about politics and you come from a country where corruption is rife, whereas there's a lot of corruption and politicians have been bought left, right, and center, and they're giving money to their cronies, to the companies of their brothers and stuff like that, well, you might be tempted to write, politics is a disgrace, and most politicians nowadays are corrupt, which weakens democracy, okay? Here what we've done is made a very, very sweeping negative generalization. In fact, we'd probably say something like all politicians are corrupt. That's a very sweeping generalization, okay? So we need to avoid that, and we'd say something like, it is often considered that some politicians are corrupt, or nowadays the amount of politicians being tried and accused of corruption is increasing. But we don't want to make a blanket statement, okay? Which is where we just say everything is like this. Also, this brings me to the next point, which is like, don't bring your opinions at first, okay? Now, this is what's interesting about IELTS, is that sometimes the task two questions do actually ask for your opinion, which makes it kind of confusing. So it's better to argue your case and then later give your opinion, okay? So if you do give your opinion as well, make sure that you back it up with an example and just try to be as coherent as possible, all right? Let me just give you an example. So your opinion might be that, I don't know, all Italian food gives you stomach ache, okay? Now, you can make this claim, however, you need to back it up with some kind of example. It's not a very believable claim, but what you cannot do is you cannot give like a subjective statement, such as like, you want to demonstrate your argument that all Italian food gives people stomach complaints. Okay, so you can't give an example saying, for example, my family once ate at Leonardo's in Rotherham, UK, comma, and incidentally, we all ended up with stomach issues. Okay, that's a very subjective statement. So when you are arguing, make sure you're using objective opinions, okay, and also try and frame your position as a fact rather than your personal opinion, okay? And we'll go more into that later. Now, going back to academic writing, this is a formal genre, okay? So it has its own style and register. So this means that we cannot write in informal English. What does that mean? Well, we can't use contractions, okay? So we can't say it doesn't often follow this pattern. We'd have to say it does not follow this pattern and write out the full construction. Also, we're not going to use the same language as we do when we're texting or messaging our friends. We're going to use more sophisticated language, all right? Also, we're not going to use rhetorical questions. So imagine we get a question about testing on animals, like, do you believe that experimentation on animals for scientific purposes is justified? Are there any alternatives? So if we get that question, we cannot say something like testing on animals is totally okay. All right, because this is the language we use when we're speaking with friends. All right, it would be much better if we said, it is undoubtable that testing on animals is becoming a much more widely accepted practice. Okay, if that were your opinion. So this is what I mean. We need to transform the language to make it sound more academic. A good example is, like, you don't wear your pajamas to go to a formal dinner. For the formal dinner, you have to wear a set style that's expected of you. And this is exactly the same when we're writing. So we don't use contractions. We upgrade our language, our written language. Avoid direct and rhetorical questions and exclamation marks. I think the best way to learn this would be to look at real scientific academic writing, and you can just go online and search often the PDFs that the government reports issue, or the government institutions issue. Just put something like crime report Australia PDF, or government crime report, or government environmental report. This is the type of language that we need. So that's where we're going to get it from. And I would strongly recommend you look at the scientific journals, the scientific writing. Look at how they use connectors. So you could print it off and highlight how they're using connectors, how they're actually connecting ideas and making coherent paragraphs. And also, this is a good exercise, is look at how arguments are introduced into the topic. Okay, how do they thread the arguments in there? What's the style that they're using? And if you really want to take it to the next level, I recommend copying a report out, maybe just the conclusion or just the introduction, pen and paper, and also highlight the connectors and really just break it down, study it, and analyze it. Now, another very important aspect of academic writing is, and especially this is paramount for IELTS, but what we have to do is analyze what is expected. We have to analyze the questions, okay? And once we get it crystal clear, what is expected from you for your essay, then it makes it much easier to obviously score points for task response, but also to plan out the next step, to plan out how we're going to write the essay. So is the question a problem and solution? Is it a discuss plus opinion? Is it a two-part question? Or is it an opinion? Okay? So you need to analyze the question and also just have a look at other questions and see and try and identify them and practice making essay plans. This is quite an important skill to have. And in the online course that we have at IELTSpodcast.com, there's a whole module where we ask you to identify the types of questions and practice making essay plans so that you get this skill under control. And then the one of us has a look at your practice, your plans. And then once we get that stage under control, we move on to the next stage, which is writing essays using a structure which we provide. So we clarify what is expected. Okay, we look at the four types of questions. We look at the question, identify what type it is. Is it problem and solution? In this case, we would write a paragraph for the problem, a paragraph for the solution. Is it discuss plus opinion? In this case, we'd probably put both sides of the opinion in each paragraph and then a conclusion at the end. Is it a two-part question? In which case, we're going to dedicate a paragraph to each question. Or is it an opinion? In this one, you just can put your view all the way through. All right? So, excuse me. Let's move on. How are we going to write this? Well, we could use process writing. All right? How are we going to plan this? This is called process writing. It's also known as loop writing. So we need to define the topic. And this goes for all of the essay questions. Define the topic. What is it that we're going to write about? Is it going to be about crime? Is it going to be about environments? Is it going to be about education? So we define the topic. Okay, and then probably in IELTS, we'll go a little bit specific. If we've got an essay about crime, are we going to talk about prisons? Are we going to talk about criminals? Are we going to talk about punishment? So we go a little bit further. We get it clear in our mind. Then, are there any examples that spring to mind that we can use for our opinion? Okay, what is our opinion? Where are we going to put it? How are we going to plan these essays? Okay. And we can do this with either bullet points or we can make a mind map. Once again, what I recommend is that you look at a list of questions and you practice preparing for them. Okay. Does a mind map work better for you? Or do you think more laterally, i.e. would bullet points work better for you? Okay, so some students just write a list of bullet points and then start arrows and linking and numbers. Other students, they do mind maps because they think more visually, do mind maps, and then sort of like construct a rough plan from this mind map or from these bullet points. All right, now a solid plan can make a very big difference. And I have this in capital letters in my notes here. And the reason I've got it in capital letters is because you can see when you're reading an essay if a student has a solid plan or not. It's very, very obvious. I'll give you examples. So if you have like one coherent idea, one position, for example, or your essay strictly follows what is asked in the question, then it's very clear you've got a solid plan, okay? However, if your essay is like one point and then another point and then maybe an example and then another point and then another point that's kind of related to the topic, but then it's not exactly what the essay question was asking for, then this is a very good example of not having a plan, and it often makes your writing incoherent, and it also negatively affects your task response. Because, for example, imagine we get an essay about the topic crime specifically, about punishment, okay? And maybe it's talking about different types of punishment, and you talk about, you start off talking about crime, then you start talking about punishments, and then the electric chair, and then you start evaluating whether the electric chair is actually good, and you might talk about somebody being falsely accused, then later evidence gets found. And although we are still almost on topic, we've kind of just gone off down a rabbit hole, so to speak. So this is why it's very, very important, okay, this is a very useful tip, is to constantly check the question. So you read the question, okay, then reread it, get a good idea, and then start making your plan, and then check again the question. This is very important, because if you start off, for example, you read the question, you start writing your essay, very, very probable that you're going to make a mistake, okay, because you might just go off topic. Or you read the question, then you make your plan, and then you start writing, but in that space of time, you could go off topic. Okay, maybe in your plan, you slightly go off topic. So this is why you read the question, read it again, make a plan, or even read the question, identify what type of question it is, problem solution, two-part question, whatever. Then make your plan, read the question again, and then check that your plan corresponds. And once you get to that stage, it's literally a case of transforming this plan into your essay. Okay? Now, in a probably in the next episode, we're going to look into more detail about putting this plan into action. But before that, I want to look at a very important component of the academic writing process, and that's getting feedback. This is extremely important, because without the feedback, it's very difficult to measure how you're improving, okay? And also, like, sometimes you cannot see the wood for the trees, okay? And this is an expression that means that something that could be very, very obvious to somebody else, you cannot see because you've been staring at it for a long time. Okay, so this is why it's important to go through it with a friend, or you swap essays, and you both kind of look at it with fresh eyes, go through it and just check, okay, is this right, is that right, is that right? Do this. It's a very good exercise. Also, you need to review your own essays, because obviously, come exam day, you're on your own. You need to get into the habit of spotting where you make those mistakes and then correcting your own mistakes. So if you know that you're weak with prepositions, go through your essay, look for prepositions, and then correct. Now, another good tip while you're reviewing your work is you can leave it for a day, come back with fresh eyes, and you'll probably see some more grammatical mistakes, and you might even see parts that just don't make any sense. But while you were writing them in your mind, you were saying this, you leave it for a day, you come back, and you realize what you actually were saying was something else. Okay? Another reason why you should really consider getting feedback is that it can be motivating. Yeah? Don't fall into the classic example of the English teacher who gets the essay back, and because there's lots of correct work, it just seems normal, and the teacher just focuses on the negative parts. Don't do that with your friend, yeah? Just go through, or don't do it with yourself even, but go through it and say, okay, this was good, topic-specific vocabulary here, excellent. This was terrible, this could be better, and this is wrong, I think, because of this rule. Okay, so don't just focus on the negative. Also, keep an eye out for the positive things as well. Now, also, when you're swapping your essays and you're looking through, you might see them making lots of mistakes with prepositions, for example. So you might think, okay, I should keep an eye out for prepositions in my own work. Or you might see some constructions they've used in their essays, which you can borrow in your work. So it's there's so many benefits. And if you don't have anybody to look at your work, then you might want to get your essay corrected. You can go to IELTSpodcast.com/essay correction service. You can go there. There's an ex-IELTS examiner. She'll review your work. She also does the essay corrections on the online course. And it's just, yeah, I trained her not to correct, not for the IELTS exam, obviously, but I trained her how to correct essays in a way that kind of motivates the students, you know. And she's also brought her knowledge to the actual essay correction service, and that's one reason why I hired her. So yeah, have a look at that. You're going to get your essay back in 24 hours. You're going to see where the mistakes are. It's a very fast way to improve, and also you're going to get a lot more help and advice, and obviously it's going to be more motivating as well. So have a look at that. Then yeah, and all the best with your IELTS prep. And if you've got any questions, remember you can just go to IELTSpodcast.com, sign up, then you get the email address and you can send your questions there. Good luck with your preparation. Take care.
IELTSpodcast.com.